Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
And you must have some hearing issues. Man, I put on the headset here. It's like, I can't even hear myself. Oh, I had to turn the headphones down there. I was probably the engineer in here goofing off again or something. But hey, great to be back in studio here this morning. But what a great road trip. You know, what was really fun is I made a few more stops than usual on the road trip to and from Great Falls because, you know, I like to pick up my protein bars, you know, get a little hydration drink, et cetera. But anyway, on the way to Great Falls, I was wearing my Trump 2024, my Team Trump vest. And man, anytime I wear that vest, you feel like a celebrity because you get so many compliments. People just love the Team Trump vest, right? But it's stopping at the gas stations, you know, without saying which specific gas stations and which specific towns, the ladies at the gas stations loved the Trump vest. The ladies working behind the counter, nice gals. You know, it's funny because two different gas stations I stopped in at on the way to Great Falls, and both ladies behind the counter said, oh, I like your vest. And they'd kind of whisper it at first. I really like your vest. And they'd say things like, all right, we're on the same team. We're on the same team. And the last lady who said it, I thought it was pretty interesting because she said, oh, I like your vest. You know, we're on the same team. And I said, you know, it's funny. I said, everywhere I go wearing this vest, I said, it's just crazy. You get so many compliments on it, right? And she said something that I thought really summarized it. She says, you know what? We've just had it. We're over it. We've had it. And that lady at that gas station, I thought, summed it up. Because look at all the BS they're trying to throw at Trump. Look at all the BS they're trying to throw at the Republicans. And none of it is moving with the American people. It's just like all the court cases against Trump last year, all the attempts to try to, you know, move him out of the race. And it only made him more popular. People just had it. And people have had it. In other words, like we've been saying on the show, like people aren't buying any of the media and the Democrat Party's Adam Schiff. They've had it. I thought that was such a great summary. And then on the drive back, I didn't have my vest on because it was just too nice. It was warm. The weather was nice. And that's when I got the weather report from another lady at a gas station. I said, man, look at that sunshine. It isn't the weather just great. And she said, oh, yeah, but the snow will be back tomorrow. the cooler weather and snow will be back for parts of Montana here today. That's your weather report. But, yeah, near a new record daily high in Missoula for yesterday. New record daily high of 67 at Butte yesterday. The previous record was back in 1997. All preliminary data, of course. But just shared a couple of tweets from the National Weather Service on X.com/Aaron Flint. So that's your weather report. Yeah, you'll get another one here in a second. Coming up right after this, we've got so much content to pack into the show today. One of my conversations from the Mackers Convention in Great Falls that I recorded after this show. Interesting information when it comes to gravel roads versus paved roads.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine in the area today and some increasing clouds late as well. High temperature readings will range from around 66 in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. For tonight, with some cloud cover, a few isolated showers possible. Lows from the upper 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. Then on Friday, there's a chance for showers with highs in the mid-50s to around 60. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
The Senate Armed Services Subcommittee hearing Wednesday focused on the three U.S. service academies, West Point, Annapolis, and the Air Force Academy. West Point Superintendent Lieutenant General Stephen Gillen on why the academies are different from normal colleges.
We equip our graduates with the skills required to lead small units on the battlefield. Furthermore, we develop and refine the high moral character necessary to lead America's sons and daughters to fight and win our nation's wars.
Naval Academy Superintendent Vice Admiral Yvette Davids adding,
"Our graduates must be prepared immediately upon commissioning to lead and fight."
Which Air Force Academy Superintendent Lieutenant General Tony Bauernfein says is more important than ever because
our adversaries have watched the American way of war, and they are challenging our capabilities in every warfighting domain.
He says the cadets and midshipmen have to be the best because
our nation deserves nothing less.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks. Yeah, now we're catching up with the director of the Montana LTAP program, which is a big part of the MACRS convention here, Matt Olberg. Matt, great to see you, and thanks for hosting us here at the MACRS convention.
Absolutely. Couldn't do it without my staff out front checking everybody in. And we've got attendance of over 400 people this year. One of our highest years ever. Not sure if we're going to break a record or not, but we've got just about somebody from almost every county. I think we have 54 the last time I checked of our 56 counties represented. We've got about a 70, 75 vendors with about 170 people with those vendors. So we got a pretty good ratio, put on a pretty good show. The MACRS board does a great job, makes our job a lot easier. So we can just sit here, the planning's done, you let it happen.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just even just last night at dinner, just sitting chatting with the people at our table, it's fascinating the conversations you hear about because, you know, obviously infrastructure and roads here in Montana. I mean, our state is so massive. It's like driving one corner of the state of Montana to the other is like driving from Chicago to Washington, D.C., and you think about the road networks that it takes to support, you know, rural Montana, especially in farm and ranch country, which delivers a lot of product, delivers, you know, a huge part of our economy. But it was just fascinating. You know, we were talking gravel roads and paved roads and how sometimes it might actually be better to have a gravel road. And then you can take less than 50% of the millings and integrate that into your gravel. And now, anyway, so it's just absolutely fascinating to hear some of the insight with the folks gathered here.
Absolutely. The innovation in this industry and within our counties in Montana is high. They really look for ways to save and stretch that dollar. Western Montana is going through growing pains with the residential demand, but really agriculture and ranching communities is what supports our state. And so sometimes those gravel roads come out with a higher priority than our paved roads. And if you're a county that has a small budget, it costs five times as much to maintain 1 mile of asphalt that it does 1 mile of gravel. So there are counties that are unpaving their roads now, and they're grinding them up, like you said, using that material to recycle and giving them a surface that they can maintain with a road grader instead of a paving machine or a chip seal machine. It stretches their dollar farther, and with the volumes that are on those roads of traffic, if you don't have 500 to 1,000 cars a day, you really should probably be in a gravel situation. And so many of our roads were paved to support industry in Western Montana that doesn't exist anymore. Mm. You know, whether it's an egg plant or a lumber mill, those are gone. And until they come back, some of those roads have just been allowed to deteriorate over time, and they become unserviceable.
So it's better to mill it up, break it up, and make it a good usable gravel road than potentially just lose the road altogether. I like how you said until they come back, because I'm hopeful that we do make our timber industry great again, you know, and unleash American energy production right here in Montana, rebuild our industrial base. And I think we're on track to start doing that. It's going to take some time. So yeah, hopefully we can not only rebuild those roads, but the way we're going to do it is by rebuilding our industrial base first and foremost.
I agree. I have total faith that that's going to happen. We still have all the resources here. We have the talent. We have the manpower. We have the ability. We have the desire. We just need some things to get out of the way. And I think we're all aware of what those things are. from the county perspective, we have timber counties that depended on those timber dollars that now have a complete inability to be effective because of the loss of that tax base. And from an agricultural standpoint, some of our counties are seeing houses get grown where agriculture should be. And that's unfortunate as well. But, you know, there's so many things at play. The best thing that I can do is try to make sure that our counties know what they need to know so that they're doing the right things and they're doing them in the right way.
Yeah, it was interesting talking about the millings and how, like you say, okay, we've got a really bad paved road here. It's too expensive for us to repair that thing. But you take the millings and then you put that into the gravel. If it's less than 50%, that's a good thing. But then they were saying if it's more than 50%, then it actually, the heat or something will start to merge those millings together again, and it will basically turn back into like a bad paved road versus a good gravel road. So I thought that just the science behind all this stuff and the technology from these private sector industries that are here and the construction companies and the heavy equipment dealers on down to the foremen and the men and women that are working the equipment.
Absolutely. We benefit from the experience of other states and other communities around the nation. And that's my job, is to bring that knowledge to the county and to the local level and train them on what needs to happen or what can happen, what their options are. Because some of these folks, they just feel like they have nowhere to go. And that mobilizing that asphalt in that as a binder in that matrix, you're exactly right. You don't want to get too much millings to where that asphalt starts to set up again. It needs to be blade maintainable. We've had experience where a county is fought tooth and nail by the local residents to not unpave that road because they grew up with a paved road. They want a paved road. They feel that their tax basis is affected by the fact that their house or home is served by a paved road. And then I said, just give them a chance. Let them change 1 mile. And we pick the worst mile, usually, or the first mile. And they'll do a mile of road, and within a year, most of those residents are begging for the rest of that road to be converted because there's potholes are not fun for anybody.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I wonder any numbers that quantify, you know, how many, you know, bad paved roads are being converted into gravel roads or anything. I'd be interested. Maybe Mako's run those numbers.
It would be.
Like
I'd love
that.
To see a study done on that. You know, there's always work for us to do. There's always questions that we can ask of our counties, whether it's how they're paying their people, how their benefit structure is. Mako does a really good job of that, but sometimes we lose track of how the practice is being handled on the local level.
All right, yeah, great to catch up with Matt Olberg, the Montana LTAP director, and thanks for the support at the Mackers Convention in Great Falls yesterday. Back after the Farm and Ranch Report.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When the topic turns to power planning, a word that gets used frequently is we. We could do this. We should do that. But power generation is a fantastically capital-intensive enterprise. The we is not you or I. Aside from a few federal government projects like TVA or Bonneville, it's companies and businesses who are pulling the trigger on projects, investing, and building capacity. And those companies require a profit to make those kinds of financial commitments pencil out. As an economist, I say that's not a bug, it's a feature. Solar power is cheap, but it's also intermittent. It needs something else to make it work. That something might be some kind of power storage, like a battery, or it might be a conventional generator, like a gas turbine, to run when solar is diminished or absent. We need that. But if solar power became bigger, it will dominate gas generation during the day, shortening the time that the gas generator can make money. We might need it, but will it get built? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Republicans excoriated Democrats when they ran the House for permitting remote voting during the pandemic. Lawmakers could literally call in their vote on a bill, amendment, resolution, or motion and have a colleague cast their ballot for them in Washington. This was to accommodate social distancing. Woody Allen famously decreed that 90% of success in life is just showing up. Fast forward to the present. A bipartisan coalition of Democrats and Republicans have the votes to execute a rare parliamentary maneuver and go over the head of House Speaker Mike Johnson to allow a form of remote voting. It would be for members who are expectant mothers, those who just gave birth, or the spouse of a woman who just gave birth. Those who qualify could vote remotely for 3 months. Republican Anna Paulina Luna of Florida is the main sponsor of the plan, but Johnson opposes remote voting. Quote, I'm afraid the whole thing is unconstitutional, so I've tried to discuss this with Anna, and she's pretty stubborn about it, said Johnson. But Democrats note that Johnson voted remotely 39 times during the pandemic. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Nordlund. When we come back, we'll have more on yesterday's hearing for the nomination of Wyoming's Brian Nesvick to be the next director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Stay with us. We'll be back after this.
Want a bull that performs as well on the ground as it does on paper? Then join Pleasant Valley Angus April 2nd in Sydney, Montana for their annual bull sale. Offering 65 registered yearling bulls, 35 open heifers with papers available, and 20 F1 baldies. These bulls are coming from a proven cow herd with a focus on proven genetic performance. Lunch at 11:30, sale time 1 o'clock. For videos, catalog, and live bidding on these stout rancher-made bulls, visit dutyauction.com. Pleasant Valley Angus, functional maternal performance.
Sale season's here again, and there are a lot of black-hided Angus bulls on the market, but not all of them are registered. Why take the risk? Don't gamble on unproven genetics. Invest wisely with registered, powered by Angus bulls. Backed by the power of the American Angus Association and 80 million data points, registered Angus bulls give you the confidence in your buying decisions. Don't buy an imposter. Look for the registration number. Buy the power. Buy registered Angus bulls.
Ranchers, this Thursday, March 27th, it's the Gibbs Red Angus Annual Production Sale at the Glasgow Stockyards, Glasgow, Montana. This year, 45 registered yearling Red Angus bulls and 25 registered yearling Red Angus heifers sell. Sale time is 1 o'clock. And remember, you can either bid in person or online. For more information, check out their Facebook page or visit GibbsRedAngus.com. Again, it's the Gibbs Red Angus Annual Production Sale this Thursday, Glasgow Stockyards, Glasgow, Montana.
Yesterday, the U.S. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works Committee held the nomination hearing for Wyoming's Brian Nesvick to become the next director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon shared testimony on his nomination.
It's a particular pleasure to be able to introduce my former director of Wyoming's Game and Fish Agency, retired National Guard Brigadier General, and most importantly, close friend. Brian's real-world, on-the-ground experience managing Wyoming's 800 species of fish and wildlife made him an outstanding director of our Game and Fish and will be a tremendous asset to the Trump administration and our country. Brian has taken part in and led Wyoming's efforts to successfully recover some of the world's most charismatic megafauna. In Wyoming, that's grizzly bears, gray wolves, as well as some of our treasured species that were declared extinct, like the black-footed ferret, which our Game and Fish recovered.
Wyoming U.S. Senator John Barrasso highlighted Nesvick's commitment to scientific decision-making.
Over the last 4 years, politics has driven much of the agency's decisions rather than following the science. For example, the greater Yellowstone ecosystem population of grizzly bears has been fully recovered for 20 years. Republican administrations, Democratic administrations all agreed for 20 years. Grizzly bear fully recovered. In my home state of Wyoming, we are proud of its lead role in leading this recovery and investing over $50 million to this end. Brian Nesvick played a large role in advocating for Wyoming and advancing these policies.
Nesvick shared these comments during his confirmation hearing.
I cherish the opportunity to build a strong track record working with ranchers, farmers, sportsmen and women, tribes, and all people who care about natural resources. These people, citizens of our great nation, are the ground level of our government and the foundation of the mission of the service and my personal leadership mission. Respecting values, building effective teams, communicating candidly and transparently, leading by example, and treating all people with dignity and respect are the core tenets of my leadership commitment.
Nesvick's nomination to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is expected to sail through committee and be approved by the U.S. Senate in the coming weeks. I'm Lee Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was glad that as I was chatting there with Matt Olberg, we were talking about roads in western Montana in particular in these timber counties. And look, it was the timber industry that, you know, helped make the Forest Service profitable back then, right? And it was the timber industry that helped build these roads. And for many people, those roads then became great access roads to great hunting ground, right? And then what did Clinton and the Democrats start to do? Their roadless initiatives. They wanted to shut down these roads. They wanted to tear out these roads. They wanted to tear out access trails, access roads, and more. Why? Because they wanted to destroy these industries that provided jobs and revenue and kids to attend public schools here in Montana, right? And so now a lot of these counties don't have that revenue, and their roads are in disrepair. So they're trying to figure out a way to be more efficient to try to keep those roads open in the meantime until we make our timber industry great again, until we make mining in Montana great again, until we provide, you know, high-wage jobs for everyday Montanans. And so that was pretty interesting. But, okay, let's go back to this, though, for a moment. That, okay, when we look at who killed the timber industry here in Montana, who destroyed the timber industry here in Montana, if you were to pick one person, Don Malloy, this left-wing, radical left-wing judge Don Malloy, this arrogant, elitist, left-wing snob, Don Malloy. He is the guy who has been a blank check for the radical environmental groups ever since the Democrats put him on the federal bench. An absolute train wreck. Outright arrogance. And disregard for everyday working class men and women here in Montana. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but Representative Carrie Seekins-Crow was where I spotted this first. She pointed out that Judge Malloy was presiding over a naturalization hearing. Some of you guys probably heard about this. I was waiting. I wanted to see the actual transcript from the federal court. But you think, what is a naturalization hearing? This is when people who want to be Americans and go through the legal process to become American citizens, this is when they get to raise their right hand and become citizens of the United States of America, of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is one of the most incredible experiences that an American citizen could watch, could view, much less be a part of, right? And this left-wing clown of a judge, Don Malloy, took that sacred ceremony and turned it into an anti-Trump rant. What an embarrassment. That judge needs to go. He needed to go a long time ago. Roy McKenzie with the Western Montana News has now confirmed the story. Well worth the dong. Dong. Yeah, the Trump administration and our great federal law enforcement taking down a top MS-13 gang member. I'll bet you they already knew who he was and where he was during the last 4 years of the Biden regime. But like all the other illegal aliens that were invading this country, they were protected by the Biden administration and the Democrats. So it'd be interesting to hear more about that story. But that was a story well worth the dong. All right, here's the dong out of Missoula. Representative Carrie Seekins-Crow shared this on Facebook just a few days ago. Judge Malloy presided over a naturalization hearing. He had the new citizens raise their hands, state their oaths, and explain their loyalty to the United States. But then, nonpartisan Judge Malloy went on a tirade of how the United States became treasonous starting on January 6, 2020. He then went on to denigrate and disparage President Trump. The participants who proudly went through the process to become citizens of the United States were not only shocked but also saddened to hear an authority figure, supposedly nonpartisan, put their new country in such a harsh light. Donald Malloy is an Article III federal judge serving on senior status for the United States District Court for the District of Montana. He is not nonpartisan. Representative Carrie Seekins-Crow added this, and while he may be the most egregious example of a judge who does not maintain professional competence in the law and is swayed by partisan interests, he is not the only one. Yeah, Judge Don Malloy, this guy is just one of the worst of the worst in Montana history. He has zero regard for working men and women here in Montana. He's a blank check for the liberal elites and the radical environmental groups. He's arrogant, and he's just an embarrassment to the state of Montana. But really, putting all that aside, it's just the tragedy that he has caused, the poverty that he has caused, the harm that he has caused to working people here in Montana and to the state of Montana. Not only does he need to go, he needed to go a long time ago. And somebody asked a question. Oh, well, I thought he retired. Yeah, he stepped down to senior status so that he can still go goof off all he wants and take your taxpayer dollars and live high on the hog. But as a senior status judge, he can pick and choose which cases he wants to work on. So he can still say, yeah, you know what? I still want to screw over the working men and women of Montana. So I'll take that case so I can screw over working people. And then I'll go back to, you know, living high on the hog with their taxpayer dollars. I'll take that case so I can screw over the working men and women of Montana. Boy, oh, that guy, I'll tell you what. Okay, quick break. We got a lot of ground to cover. We got a very busy lineup on the show.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
Hey, we got a lot of fresh content on our Montana Talks website. Because I was on the road over the past couple of days, I had to stay up a little late last night trying to get some new content on the website for you. I mean, I could cross-post content from other folks, but I had a lot of information that I wanted to share. So after getting up at O Dark 30 yesterday to set up equipment, record some interviews in the early morning hours, line up guests for the show, do the show, make the drive back from Great Falls, then it's like, oh, shoot, I got a conference call at 4 o'clock. Man, I am heading straight to the gym because I have got to get a workout in. And so wrapped that up and immediately threw on the Bluetooth headphones so I could listen in on that conference call. And then it's like tap, tap, tap-a-roo, start typing up something for the website here. Let me tell you about some of the headlines on our Montana Talks website right now. Let's start with some of the lighter news. Butte Central opening up their baseball season today at home. Tommy O's got the write up there. So, yeah, high school baseball, exciting, isn't it, to see, you know, obviously we've had Legion baseball for years now, but to have actual high school teams, I know a lot of folks are really excited about that. So, yeah, what's happening in Butte, the full write-up at MontanaTalks.com or on the KXTL website and app as well. A new luxury resort in Montana sets their official opening date. That's that crazy luxurious place that they've been building in Big Sky. Popular roadside diner for sale in Montana. Is it popular or is this just another one of those clickbait stories? I don't know. I didn't get a chance to read it yet myself. I'll have to check it out to see if it's actually... Oh, yeah, I think it is. It's a Paradise Valley one. So, yeah, check that out. Gravel or pavement. You just heard my conversation with Matt Olberg from the director of the Montana LTEP. Gravel or pavement. Which road Montana counties are heading down? That's another headline at the Montana Talks website with full audio and more right now as well. All right, then I'm going to get into a couple of serious stories here in just a second. But first, we got a couple of messages that came in on the Montana Talks app, and we always love to hear from you. Now, the first one we'll get to here, this came in just a few minutes ago from Tim in Savage. Where did I put it? I just had it in front of me. Ah, here it is. All right, there we go. Yeah, thanks to Caden for bringing that one in for us here. I was telling you about how we had some high temperatures yesterday. Wasn't that a beautiful day yesterday? And then, of course, now the snow and the colder weather's coming back into parts of the state today. But, man, wasn't yesterday just a beautiful day? Tim and Savage says this. Those high temperatures are clear proof of global warming. The projected cold front is also more clear proof of global warming. Oh, and the sun rising on the horizon is also proof of global warming. Tim and Savage, thanks for that message. Let's see, what do we got here? Evan and Belt sent this one. Oh, really early. He either stayed up late or he got up really early, or probably like the rest of us, you wake up in the middle of the night and you got that thought, you send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Here we go. Evan says this, so tell me how the indignant leftist communist Democrat Party, who didn't give a damn about all the woke transgender issues destroying our military and creating actual national security issues for our nation, now they claim that the leaked Houthi strike in Yemen was so detrimental to our war-fighting capability that it could have gotten some of our pilots killed. Did they ever hear of Abbey Gate? This is just their latest January 6th moment because they have no viable plan for our great country. Time to move on. Yeah, Evan, thanks for that message. Will Cain, by the way, since Evan sent us a message on this story, Will Cain was interviewing this Democrat congressman, this hypocrite, Jason Crow out of Colorado. Jason Crow straight up lied about Trende Aragua, the violent Venezuelan illegal alien prison gang, being in Denver, being in Aurora, Colorado. Oh, but he thinks a freaking text message chain should lead to resignations or firings? Hey, Jason Crow, why don't you lead from the front, buddy? I think you're supposed to lead the way, aren't you? So why don't you lead from the front, Jason Crow? And why don't you resign after you lied about TDA's presence in Aurora and Denver? Will Cain ripped into the Democrats' hypocrisy when it comes to accountability. Here was him whipping out his cell phone and telling Jason Crow, well, let's just say Crow had to eat crow.
Congressman, in fact, I do have some of your words right here. So this is what you told CPR News, which is a Colorado news agency. Back in 2023, you said, I do think the withdrawal from Afghanistan was messy. It was chaotic. There were a lot of mistakes that were made, and I haven't pulled punches on that. And then you go on to say in that same interview, but there are lessons learned, and I take a holistic look and not look at it through a small frame. So you admit that it was a mistake. You know that it was connected. I agree, by the way, it is apples and oranges, because in this situation, 13 Marines actually died. So I agree, they're not apples to apples comparisons. But on this particular mistake, you didn't demand anyone's resignation. And so I don't find it principled that now you do, when nothing happened other than a successful military operation was executed. It seems to me, Congressman, well, that what you're doing is playing politics, not principles. Operation.
Yeah, and by the way, Jason Crow himself should resign his seat in Congress. The guy straight up lied repeatedly, and of course the liberal media in Denver and elsewhere covered for him while he was running for re-election for Congress down in Colorado. He lied repeatedly about TDA and downplaying this threat of the Venezuelan prison gang and their massive operations that were taking place down in Colorado, as we've all seen since that point. All right, speaking of illegal aliens, deportations, and more, let's take you to Deer Lodge, Montana now. This was another reason I had to, stay up a little later and keep working for several more hours after getting up at 0:30 yesterday, is because I needed to get this news out. So you guys know Dan Bruner, the former FBI Hispanic gang expert who's joined us here on the show. Thanks to Dan Bruner for sharing this with me on X. ICE, their Salt Lake City / Montana sub-office, arrested and deported Roberto Salomon Garcia, 48 years old, of Mexico, in Deer Lodge, Montana. Salomon was convicted of 4 counts of sexual assault. So ICE deported a guy from Mexico who was convicted of 4 counts of sexual assault. Now, you look at the photograph that I've got on our Montana Talks website. Well, let's see. They arrested him in Deer Lodge. I see a chain link fence with concertina wire on top of the chain link fence. What it looks like is this guy, just got released from the Montana State Prison in Deer Lodge, and ICE was there to give him a nice warm greeting and deport his ass. So I did some digging. I was like, okay, who is this guy? Why was he in prison? What's his story? Do you guys remember when there was a carnival worker in Great Falls that groped, sexually assaulted four women, including a 13-year-old girl, including also a female Great Falls police detective? Well, I checked the rap sheet on this guy and looked at the details. The names match. The timelines match. So sure looks like the carnival sex offender who was convicted in Great Falls has now been arrested by ICE in Deer Lodge, and another one deported on the way out. So there you go. I wonder if he's going down to that that nice little luxury resort down in El Salvador. I wonder if they're sending him that way. So there you go. There you go. Just another look at what the Biden regime did to this country over the last 4 years. Hey, I'll tell you what, you know, you talk about how nice it was yesterday, almost 70 degrees in Missoula, or almost 70 in Butte. I mean, man, great time to be doing some home improvements right now. Everybody loves to do that in the spring especially. Let me tell you about an incredible deal from YHIC. Your home improvement company. You can transform your space up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Well, you can do that right now with financing that you can handle. Zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. That's 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. It's a limited-time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat, get up to 30% off a bathroom remodel. Call 406-948-2836 right now. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. Yeah, 30% off a bathroom remodel. And man, that financing. Holy cow, that's incredible. Quick break. We've got the legislative update coming for you right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Most members of the legacy media mob, and remember I proclaimed that they are dead after November 5th, because they threw everything combined, Democrats, legacy media, threw everything they had at Donald Trump. And they were not able to beat him. They took him to court. They tried to put him in jail. They used lawfare, weaponization at a level this country's never seen before. None of it worked. The American people saw through this. So it's not, it's pretty predictable that this is the only thing they know, because the only alternative would be a course correction and introspection and an analysis of how they're so out of touch with the American people and their egos couldn't handle such self-reflection.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Only two things in life are certain, death and taxes. Well, now there's a third certainty. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you could be saving a fortune every single month if you switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company called Pure Talk. Now, that's right, Pure Talk, my sponsor, is cutting the fat from the wireless industry. For just $25 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text, 5 gigs of data on America's most dependable 5G network, and the average family of four saving over $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And with Pure Talk, you have U.S. customer service representatives. They'll make the switch simple, fast, and free and easy. To do it, dial #250, say the keyword save now to make the switch. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, keyword save now, and start saving today. Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine in the area today and some increasing clouds late as well. High temperature readings will range from around 66 in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. For tonight, with some cloud cover, a few isolated showers possible. Lows from the upper 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. Then on Friday, there's a chance for showers with highs in the mid-50s to around 60. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks.
I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Hey, last week when there was rumor of cartel activity on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation, there were also rumors about something going on in Havre, Montana. Well, now we know why. U.S. Border Patrol Havre Sector confirming on their Facebook page that a U.S. citizen has been arrested for aiding in the smuggling of three Tren de Aragua illegal alien gang members. That's out of Havre, Montana. We've got the full story. Go to MontanaTalks.com. For that and much more.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
Just as longer days and warmer weather are sure signs that winter's coming to an end, there are also signs in the legislature that tell us that spring is on the way. The first is sunglasses, specifically sunglasses being worn by legislators near the rear of the House chamber. For months, we've all been looking for longer days and more sun. Now that it's here, it can be brutal, especially for members of the House whose desks happen to be near the back of the chamber. That's because the chamber is oriented north and south, with the seats facing south. Floor sessions are held daily from 1 to 3 p.m., just in time for the sun streaming through the skylights to reach its maximum. It's so bright that sunglasses are the order of the day, making the affected legislators look more like the president's Secret Service detail. The other sure sign that spring is on the way is the proliferation of study resolutions. Generally, hearings focus on bills, and bills have passed eventually become laws. Resolutions follow roughly the same path through the legislature, but they serve a different purpose. In general terms, they are a statement by the legislature on a given issue. It could be as simple as congratulating a college champion sports team or encouraging the president or Congress to act on a certain issue. But there's another type of resolution called a study resolution that encourages members to study an issue that one of the legislators thinks is important. In simple terms, a legislator identifies a problem and asks that a resolution be drafted to study that problem. It's then introduced, assigned to a committee, and then has a hearing just like a normal bill. If the committee votes yes, it goes to the floor, and if it passes the House or Senate as a whole, it's then transferred to the other chamber, and the process repeats itself. Rather than going to the governor, if it passes both houses, it goes into a file and sits there until the end of the session, when all of the study resolutions that have passed are then ranked in terms of importance by the individual members of both houses. Those that receive the most votes are assigned to an interim committee that will study the issue more closely in preparation for a possible bill when the legislature meets again in 2 years. Most of the action on study resolutions is held until the end of a session when the workload begins to decrease. Thus, their hearings become a sure sign of spring. So far, there are 12 study resolutions, and the deadline for requesting one is tomorrow, the 60th legislative day. Those currently in the hopper include resolutions to study artificial intelligence, youth court laws, guardianship and conservatorships, also a resolution to study the laws regarding morticians and funerals. That doesn't sound like much fun. Other suggestions include studying how to improve federal grant opportunities for local governments, studying property tax special districts, incentivizing housing density and affordability, farmers markets, energy transmission, and emergency medical services. So far, only two of those resolutions have received any votes. The study of emergency medical services passed out of committee unanimously, and a study of electric vehicle taxes and fees was killed on the House floor. We expect a flurry of new requests before tomorrow's deadline. We're watching closely, and if we see any that affect our issues, we'll let you know. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
Hey, David, we only got about a minute to go here. Throw that headset on, though, real fast. I don't know if Mike 3 is it might be a little obnoxious of a microphone here, but let's give it a shot anyway. Hey, so quick headline, quick reaction. We got you for the 7 o'clock hour. Where's the headline? I just had it here. Legislative audit report. clears Regeer of waste and abuse in hiring of outside attorney. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. Didn't we know that was a phony attack to begin with?
My favorite part of that article was where, I can't remember who it was, but they said Senate President Matt Regeer is now the ethics sheriff because now he's pointed out two different ethics violations by other people, and he has now been totally cleared of any ethics concerns himself. In that article, there's somebody that's quoted as saying Senate President Matt Regeer is now considered the ethics sheriff up in Helena.
Oh, that's hilarious. I got to check that out. That's great.
Yeah, we'll find it. We'll find it and tell folks.
Stand by. David's with us next hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When a topic turns to power planning, a word that gets used frequently is we. We could do this. We should do that. But power generation is a fantastically capital-intensive enterprise. The we is not you or I. Aside from a few federal government projects like TVA or Bonneville, it's companies and businesses who are pulling the trigger on projects, investing, and building capacity. And those companies require a profit to make those kinds of financial commitments pencil out. As an economist, I say that's not a bug, it's a feature. Solar power is cheap, but it's also intermittent. It needs something else to make it work. That something might be some kind of power storage, like a battery, or it might be a conventional generator, like a gas turbine, to run when solar is diminished or absent. We need that. But if solar power became bigger, it will dominate gas generation during the day, shortening the time that the gas generator can make money. We might need it, but will it get built? I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.